Hello, guys. Welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode of the Blackspin Global Podcast, week one of Australian Open.
It's like a rundown slash review of what's gone on.
Slash review, yeah, because we didn't do a pre-pod. Yeah. There was no time because I'm out here. Even now, I'm still out here.
I wasn't even going to expose you, but it's all good. It's all good.
Hopefully the next pod is still going to be Zoom because we do have a guest.
A guest, yes, sir.
We did plan a guest, so you know, to go through AO with us. But yeah, how are you, Eugene?
Tired. Look at my eyes; like I've not slept.
You just came back. Hey guys, I actually want to give you MVP of the month, guys. A massive shout out to Eugene. He has been on job like crazy. Like, he has been staying up for so many of the matches, posting right after as well. He's coming straight from work. As you can see him right now, guys, he literally messaged me, Lucy, I'm on my way. Let's get on it. And that's it. Hard working guy. I have to give
him props. And then tonight, what am I doing tonight or slash this morning?
Working.
Disgusting. At 4:30 a.m. UK time. Horrible. But anyway, we move. See, what are you saying?
You move. I am saying I'm tired. this AO was a little bit tough because I really wanted, normally I'm an early morning gym girl, so I have to go to bed early. So there has been times where I have missed some matches. But to be fair, I've been a bit lucky because of that as well. Sometimes when I wake up, there's some matches on.
Yeah.
So I just bring my iPad with me to the gym and working out while watching matches. But yeah, it's been enjoyable. It's been great. This AO has been so chaotic. Like, it's just
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely enjoying this AO way more than last year. Last year, I was bored out of my ass. Like, I was bored. It was boring. This year, it's given a little bit of something. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed. Let's get into it straight away. I mean, again, shout out to you as well. Go on.
Before we actually do that, are you forgetting? Right before we entered AO, what happened, Eugene? We secured three titles.
Oh, damn.
Secured three titles. Bro, we need to give a massive, big, quick shout out. Obviously, we have a lot to talk about, but we can't do this bit. We can't talk about AO without discussing the three titles. What, as in, I can't remember, like in one day, we secured three titles. First, Auckland champion, Gael Monfils. He beat Zizou Bergs 6-2, 6-4 in the final. And he secured his 13th ATP tour final. He also made history by becoming the oldest man to win a tour level title since 1977 at the age of 38. We are going to talk a lot more about Monfils later because this is his level, especially now at AO, is amazing. And I feel like this title kind of gave him that plus and that, you know, that little oomph. So yeah, shout out to La Monf. We also had Madison Keys, another person who you can tell she'd be working off season, child. Madison Keys, she beat top seed Jessica Pegula 6-3, 4-6, 6-1. And she secured her 9th WTA tour title.
She is a two-time Adelaide, yes.
And she is a two-time champion at Adelaide. She won in 2022. So yeah, a massive shout out to Keys. And last but not least, and I know you guys did not expect that, but he wanted to let you guys know, do not count me out. Another Adelaide champ, Felix Auger-Aliassime, he beat Sebastian Korda 6-3, 3-6, 6-1. And he's also now a six-time champion at ATP Tour. And yeah.
Very good run from Felix as well. He beat Tommy Paul, the top seed in the semis. And then Korda, the second seed in the final. So it's big.
Yeah, so a massive shout out to the three players. It was just wonderful waking up and just seeing all of these like titles that we secured. So yeah, I had to start off with that.
Definitely. Should we go women first?
We are going women's first, and we're gonna go with our top seed woman first. Who there?
Coco.
Actually. Before we actually start with that, Australian Open, how are you feeling?
What do you mean?
Overall, like how are you feeling with week one of Australian Open?
Yeah, no, like I said, I've enjoyed it. Just obviously, as we established, the time difference is killer. Like that is it's murder, especially you like for too the morning. Much. So I've literally been doing all-nighters in some cases.
Yeah, you have.
Like,
yeah,
but I mean, it's been enjoyable though. Some really good matches. Obviously, we'll talk about them. And yeah, I mean, I just think I'm always amazed that players can like find this level of tennis like this early on into the season, like because true. It's a Grand Slam and like literally everyone's bang on it. For some, it's their first event of the year, and they're playing at such a high level. So
that's true. Yeah,
just props to the players, man, and obviously like props to the fans as well that aren't in Australia because it's tough to keep track of it.
It really is. For all time zones as well. I think that's what I find so interesting about Australia Open. It's like, we're all struggling. I think the only people that may not is probably fans are in Asia. But if you're in Europe, exactly, if you're in Africa, if you're in America, Canada is a pain.
It's killer.
So, yeah, but I'm with you. I think the reason why I'm enjoying this Australian Open is also because I'm actually enjoying the matches, not even just with BSG, but outside of BSG and then BSG stuff and then just the news around. And yeah, it's weird, but normally I've been very vocal. Australian Open is not one of my top. But this, even the chaotic side of it has been entertaining. But yeah, the draws have been very questionable. Mr. Craig.
No comment.
Got my eyes on you. No comment. But all I'm saying is, guys, I know you read that draw. And then you went back and thought, you know what, Lucy might be onto something. I'm just saying, I'm not going to say what it is, but those who know what I'm talking about, they know what I'm talking about. Let's get into the women's, please.
Crazy. So let's say, we're going to start with Coco Gauff, yeah? Number 3 seed.
Coco Gauff, yes.
So she's, well, as we record this, she'll be playing her fourth round match by the time this comes out. And that will be against Belinda Bencic. But yeah, she's looked so good. First round against Kennan, 3-3. Mm-hmm. And then second round against Jody Burridge, 6-3, 7-5.
Yeah.
It was a bit tricky, that one. Like,
that one was a bit
set.
Tricky, yeah. Burridge,
she gave a good account of herself.
She did. I've definitely seen like a little up level from her the last time I watched her play. Like she's improved the game for sure.
Yeah, and then the third round was against the first UFC, Leila Fernandez, who obviously they played at United Cup a couple of weeks ago. And it was pretty much more the same from Coco, like a very clean performance and just showing that she's, no disrespect to Fernandez, but like she's levels above in terms of her quality. So yeah, I've been really impressed with Coco, man. Like obviously her outfits as well, they've been... getting a lot of like shine, hey. And rightly so.
Which one did you like, day or night?
I like the day. I like the day for me.
Yeah, I like both of them, but the night is started. It's weird when I saw the night. Immediately, I was like, okay, yeah, I like the day because I love the green, khaki green type of thing. But then the more I see her with the night fit, because I feel like black women just look so good with bright colors, like her skin, she just looks so great. So I'm like conflicted. I love both.
Because she's only worn that day kit once, because that was against Kennan. Because her last since two she's been night matches.
Yeah, I think maybe that's why as well. I'm so used to seeing the night one. But she is going to wear the day one next because for whatever reason, I don't know if you saw the order of play. For whatever reason, the order of play tomorrow is literally all the women in the morning first, and all the men in the evening. I don't know what that is about.
Honestly, though, Lucy, like I feel like we make a lot of the schedule, like in terms of like fans and like media. But I think the players they prefer playing early in the day.
No. I'm pretty sure, but I just don't feel like it's correct to have all of the women during the day and the men thing. They're out here moving like French Open. What's going on? I don't understand what is going on, but it is what it is. But back to Coco anyways, in terms of like her game, I do feel like it was starting off, like there were some matches, especially the first and second round, it was just a little bit like rusty. but she always used to quickly pick it up. And I feel like by each match she's playing is improving and improving and improving and improving. So, you know, earlier we were not seeing, there's sometimes we're not really seeing the double. Like, for example, the one against Leila Fernandez, her first, the first set, she had like 91% first serves win. And then the second set, sometimes there was a little bit of like a little bit more double faults, but she still cleaned it up. So I think I'm very impressed with how she's still like putting her head down and just grinding. And yeah, I mean, she's just really looking good. Honestly, I feel like the United Cup has definitely helped her, boosted her up. But yeah, I'm looking forward to her next round. What do you think is going to be like?
I think that's going to be a good match. I feel like Coco will be too strong though. I just feel
I'm
like
not gonna... go on, go on. Like, sorry.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the commentators have been saying that, like, yeah, she's just in a really good place, and like you get that vibe, like she's confident about her game,
exactly,
playing well, like,
yeah,
and yeah, like you've said before, like she has this aura now, like, and I feel like she's carrying that through. So I feel like it. I don't want to say it's going to be a thrashing, but I feel like she'll get past Bencic with very little trouble. Like, yeah, what do you think?
I think I won't be surprised if you go to three sets, and I'm only saying this because, I'm only saying this because I think some people have not really realized how great Bencic has actually been playing. Obviously, I've not watched, the only match of hers that I watched was the one against Osaka, which we will talk about. And that alone, I was actually very impressed with what I was seeing from it. I was kind of like, wait, what is going on? And that was even during, while even Osaka was playing her best. So that was even before Osaka's like injury was coming into effect and stuff. Yeah. Like, she was actually on job. And I was seeing some clips and reading some comments, and it looks like, you know, Bencic is actually playing like well. So I don't want people to think that because she just popped a baby and, you know, she's taking her time. No, she's coming in strong. She's one of those mothers who came in back and tour strong and stuff. So
no, go on.
I think it's just going to be like a very like eventful. I generally think that might be, that's going to be Coco's toughest match so far. Like, out of all of the players that she's played till now, that's definitely going to be her toughest one. And I think Coco knows that from what I've been watching on her press conference. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it should be good. But like, I like what you said about Bencic, kind of giving her praise, and rightly so, because
I say forget Belinda. Okay, you're still on the list of remember, but you know, the future is the future. We're in 2025. Congratulations, you're a mom now, but you know, when it's time to talk about the tennis, I'll give the props. She's really looking good for someone who was on maternity leave.
Yeah, former world number four, and like you said, she had a good run in Adelaide coming into Australia. Yeah. She also beat Ostapenko first round in Melbourne. So and Osaka too. Obviously, that was a retirement on Osaka's part, but she did play well in that match.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like Coco is kind of levels above, basically. Like, I don't expect it to be, I'm not gonna say it's gonna be easy, but like, yeah, I feel like Coco will get through relatively comfortably. But we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Match, the head-to-head is 1-1. The last match, Coco won it. It was the year she won her Grand Slam at DC. The US run.
Basically. Oh, the summer, yeah.
Quarterfinals, beat her in straight sets. So, yeah, if Coco can do that then when she was on Crazy Smoke and the same that she's looking at now, it should be going well. But I'm looking forward to the match anyways. Yeah,
no, well said. Next up, Maddie. Oh, no, Maddie. Jasmine.
No, Maddie.
Okay, let's go Maddie, because Maddie's still
there. Yes. Because by the time I wrote that,
fair play.
Madison Keys.
She's looked very, very good, man.
She is looking really good. Also, newly, you know, she's a wife now. No longer fiance or girlfriend.
Married life looking very good on her.
Married life's looking good on her. It looks like her and her husband been down and grinding.
Slash coach,
yes.
What do you make of the the pods in the corner of the courts, where some coaches are choosing to sit.
I am really loving it. I feel like I'm watching NBA or something like that. It's just so fun. Like, this is something that we should have done ages ago. I love it. I've always, like, when people were always complaining about the new on-court interviews and stuff and blah, blah, I was like, no, sorry, I'm liking it because it's engaging. Mm. It's fun being able to hear what the coaches say. It's fun being able to see the player and the coach trying to find a solution. Like, we can't pick and choose when it's all about the player and then it's all about the coach. Like, yes, at the end of the day, we've said it so many times, the player's the one that's playing. But if I am paying someone X amount of money, help me when I need you. I don't understand when people support are like, oh, yeah, support me, help me, choose me. Like, literally, like, hello. And that's why I find it so weird when people are complaining, like, oh, it should be about, yeah, I get what you're saying, but still, I'm paying this person a lot of money to help me in these type of situations. If not, we will not have coaches. But yeah, it's very fun, very engaging. I don't think they have the, I think in some matches you hear what they say, like, obviously, Andy Murray and Djokovic, you hear them. Like, I've seen Andy and stuff. Sorry, I cannot be serious about this thing. But anyways, but yeah, I think with some matches, you hear them and some you don't. But it would be fun to be able to hear all. But maybe the coaches or the players decide. Maybe they ask, like, hey.
I don't actually know, you know.
I don't know. I'm liking it. Are you liking it?
Yeah, yes and no. Yeah, I am.
What is it about?
I just find it interesting. Like, and to be honest, I kind of respect the players that choose to have their coaches sit in the, like, normal corner, as in off the court.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, Lucy, man, you know, I'm old school, man, uncle. Like, I like the idea.
The,
like,
traditions, blah, blah, blah.
I'm sorry, you're
the traditions. You tennis tradition people need to give it a rest. Okay, we're in 2025.
But again, to go back to Coco quickly, to her credit, I've not seen her camp sitting in that corner. Like, they've always chose to sit. Or to be fair, I think for some,
they have them there, but they don't say anything. Like, for example, when Patrick was there for Osaka's match, the only time he really spoke was to tell her, get off, because you're injured. Exactly. So I think there's some, and I've seen quite a few. For example, even Keys and her husband.
Yeah,
he wasn't really thing. Do you get what I mean? He was just there clapping. I think sometimes it helps with moral support. Not necessarily like they're actually chatting. Actually, Keys and her husband did chat during the break. I think one of them, I think Collins was in a toilet or MTO break. So them type of things, people will speak, but other than that, you won't really hear anything. But yeah.
Yeah, there's a nice moment actually with Monfils. Again, we'll talk about it later on, but yeah, against Fritz.
Yeah,
there was like a break. I think, yeah, Fritz had a medical timeout and then, yeah, Monfils just literally went and sat with his coach and team, like, while Fritz was having his time.
Oh, really? Inside the box? Oh.
Cool to see, yeah. But anyway, back to women Keys, playing really good tennis, man. Like, today, knocking out Collins.
Yeah.
The 10th seed. And obviously, Collins, she's been on some different type of...
Australia's favourite. What did you like? Are you
I love it.
Thank you.
Absolutely love it. Like... Because I feel with Collins as well, like, she is very real. Like,
that's what I like about her.
Did we speak about the Igor Swiatek thing? We did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, the handshake.
Yeah.
That I don't know. I can't remember what I said now. I felt like there was, like, kind of unnecessary backlash coming from both sides, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But with Collins, like, I feel like she and Coco, like, again, summed up really well. And Pegula also said, like, what you see is what you get. Like, she is just very authentic and, like, being herself.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is what she, there was a little, for me, there was a little bit of, like, playing up to the crowd as well against Aviva Destiny. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm saying her name right. Apologies. But yeah, like, she handled it well. Like,
she did. She ended up
winning the match as well. And then watching her post match press conference as well, like, she reiterated, like, the fact. Like, yeah, basically these fans are paying my bills. Like,
talk about it.
It's quite an interesting kind of outlook to have. But again, it's very real, man. I enjoy it.
The way I see it is, if the fans can hackle, the players can also say F off. Facts. Sorry. If it was a thing where no one said anything, she was doing the most, then fine. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, shout out.
I don't want to spend too much time on it. But just again, Pegula also said as well, it's refreshing coming from a woman. Because obviously men can be like very, do you get me, showing their character and like...
And that's why I did not like a lot of people's comments saying that, oh, Colin's being childish, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but it's 2025 and you guys still post the Medvedev US Open thing where it's like, oh, when you go to sleep, just know that I won because of you.
Crazy.
Like, yeah, they're hacking. He was going like this. He was doing the most. People called it iconic. That happened years ago. Mm. We on 2025, people still post it. But when is Collins? There's a problem. Like, people not realizing your misogyny, like, is literally...
The double standard. It's pretty horrible.
It is actually showing. So, yeah, shout out to Pegula for saying that, because it's really true. Like, when is the woman players, like, they're being childish, they should just accept it. No, F off.
But yeah, but back to Keys. I mean, we spent too much time not talking about
Keys. Yeah, so hold on. So Keys, she came in form. I feel like her best and the most difficult match was against Roos. It went into three and it was very, very tight. But one thing that did stand out the most during her runs at the the Australian Open is her serve. There's been a lot of big talk about her serve. She's at hitting 80 to 90 first percentage wins. Like, she's just killing it at the moment. And she did say that at a press conference during the offseason, she was working a lot, especially on her serve. And she always felt like she could work on it and improve it.
She actually said it was something that she started working on during like the Asia swing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then from there,
which is really nice. I'm pretty sure people thought, oh, she's going to be all about her wedding and blah, blah, blah. And the fact that she was able to, you know, get married, but also work on her tennis actually made me appreciate her so much more.
It's crazy.
Because now, look, she's coming in into the season with a title and second week into the thing. Like, she's looking clear. And more people, even speaking about more people, are actually putting Keys into, like, you know, the prediction list and stuff. Mm. Matter of fact, shout out to Tennis Weekly. One of the hosts actually did have Keys to win.
Go on.
The AO. I was like, oh, really? Okay.
Go on.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I kind of missed about not doing a pre-show with us. Like, we didn't give our predictions.
We didn't give our predictions. Yeah, true. Yeah.
I'm not saying who. I mean, it's a bit like after the fact now to say, oh, yeah.
True. I mean, at the end of the pod,
I'm just going to say.
At the end of the pod, we can still give it. It's still a week one preview. True. Anything can change. Right after this, a couple hours, everything can change. Like, at this moment. And even for Keys, she is facing Rybakina next on Monday, which I'm really looking forward to, because Rybakina as well, apparently she's looking pretty good despite all the drama that's been going on. And, you know, her as well. The things about Rybakina is that the only thing that can stop her is her body or her injuries playing into it. When she's healthy, she is dangerous. But the reason why this is very interesting or fun is because Keys has been working a lot on her serve. Rybakina, her and her serve as well, especially that now she's with Goran. Like, if she may, it might be a two tie break type of thing, like three tie break type of thing.
The head to head's quite interesting as well, because it's 2-2 in the head to head. I want to say Rybakina's beaten her the last two times they've played, but Rybakina's also had an easier run. Like, she's not dropped a set yet, but she has had an easier run. Let's be real. But in saying that, like, I feel like that could also work in Keys's favor, because she's now, like, she's match tight. And like you said, the last match she played was a three setter, and that was her only three setter of the tournament. She'd been winning in straight sets. So I feel like sometimes you kind of need that kind of match to not spring you into life, but to kind of like show that you can fight through.
For sure.
And I feel like this is going to be a very, very interesting contest. Like, I was hoping we would see Keys and Paolini later on, but that's not going to happen, unfortunately. Because I want a rematch of that Wimbledon. Was it quarterfinal?
Was it not semis?
I can't remember. I think it was a quarter final, you know. Was it a quarter final? And Keys retired.
Yeah, I remember, but was it not semi-finals?
It was the fourth round, last 16.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like with Keys, we're back in it. That's a good matchup. And like you said, with Keys as well, all the stuff she's been working on, the serve. Mm-hmm. She's also playing with new equipment, the Yonex racket as well.
Oh yeah, you said, yeah, I remember, yeah.
She spoke about like how the change has given her like more power, but also more control too, because that's something in the past where like she's been not criticized, but people have been saying, oh yeah, like she just basically, she can hit you off the court, but like sometimes there's not that much control there. Whereas it seems like this Yonex racket now has given her the control along with the power. So scary times for anyone looking to face Keys, like in these next few rounds. So we'll see how that match against Rybakina goes.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Paolini now?
Yeah.
Yeah, see.
So she, and it's funny, because I put here, when I wrote this note, you know, she hasn't played her match against Collins, which I generally thought she was, not Collins, sorry, Svitolina. I generally thought, oh yeah, it's good, because here I wrote like, you know, she quietly was breezing through. No one was saying anything. You were not saying, she was out here bageling on the first round against Wei, a qualifier from China. You know, like she was just looking really, really good. She was looking like the strongest contestant on that draw. But one thing that I did note is that there was a video of her practicing before the Australian Open, and she had like some strap around her knee.
I didn't see that.
No, I saw it and she looked uncomfortable. I was like, uh-oh. So when I saw her playing,
she did pull out of a tournament after the United Cup. So maybe there is something in that.
See, this is what I'm saying. But this injury has been happening for a very long time. We just didn't peep. So like since US Open, apparently she's not been moving as normally, the way that she moves.
Wow.
Which kind of makes sense, because remember what happened last year? We had clay, grass, clay. And it's not like she was in clay for 2 seconds. She bloody won the doubles with Sarah Arani, and it went back to hard court, and she was there till like the second week. So, you know.
A lot of tennis.
She played a lot of tennis last year, which is why when she lost US Open, we literally asked her, are you going to rest now? Like, because what next are you doing? Like, you know, so maybe it's catching up to her. But since then, her movement has not actually been low. Like, it just wasn't that obvious. She's just been grinding through. But I think now she's starting to pay for it, which I'm a bit worried, because Paolini has a lot of big points to defend this year. So I really hope that, before I even get to that, you know, she was facing Elena Svitolina. And I don't want people to think that I'm saying Paolini lost that match because she's injured. I do want to give Svitolina her credit. She was looking amazing in that match. Like, it's like the smoke and the energy that Monfils had on that court. Took it, gave it to his wife and was like, let's go. But yeah, she was looking really, really good. But literally at one point, you can even tell the match. I can't remember if it was at the end. No, yeah, it was at the beginning of the second set. Paolini was returning back and she landed to her knee. You can literally see her like hopping at one point. Like, yeah, it was starting to hurt. I even was like looking at, she needs to pull out before he gets faint. But she just kept on continuing to play.
She got bageled in the first. And then, I didn't watch that match.
Exactly. Yeah. So she ended up getting bageled at the end, but that was literally as it happened. That's why I thought she would pull out, but maybe she wanted to show some respect and at least finish the match. But yes,
I respect that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, honestly. But yeah, so I don't know if she's going to play doubles, because she's still playing doubles. I'm hoping that she still can. But if it's going to hurt her, you know, her legs, then she should just, you know, so I won't be surprised if after AO she takes a little break. I really hope she lets her rip, because Paolini's been grinding, bro. Paulina's been grinding. So, well, yeah, but other than that, she's been playing. The two other matches that she played, played really well. She was about to make second week again. She was, like, I literally even thought, oh, okay, maybe the injury is not really happening anymore. But looks like now it's catching up to her. And it's always like that at the beginning of AO anyways. Everybody be injured because their body is like,
exactly, start of the season, exactly.
Start of the season.
No one's going to be like in tip-top shape. That's why, like exactly. I said, it's impressive how players can just come out off the bat and, yeah, be playing at such a high level. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's actually ridiculous. And then you have people that are out here doing nonsense to draws, but what do I know?
Oh, Lucy. So, yeah, that's Paulini. Hopefully that there isn't, like, it's not a huge kind of, yeah, worry or
I really hope so.
To be too concerned about.
Yeah.
Should we talk about more upsets now? So I say upsets.
Yeah.
Osaka. Let's talk about Osaka.
Oof.
I thought this was a good run. Just unfortunate again.
So unfortunate.
I think it was Christian. Shout out to Christian. Is it Christian's court?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, she can't catch a break right now. Like, obviously coming off the back of Auckland, reaching the final and having to pull out there after winning the first set. And then, yeah, the match against Bencic, she was 5-2 up or 5-3 up, I think, in that first set. Served for it, got broken, and then that's when, yeah, the injury kind of set in again.
It's abdominal, but even before that, she had Garcia first round, which she had last year again. Craig, last year again, repeated that. And then
listen to the podcast.
Listen, because no, we need to hold him accountable. This is getting ridiculous. to hold him accountable, bro. Everyone's against each other. The black players against each other. The Frenchmen. He said one Frenchman at a time. He's like, no. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I wanted to be. I see it. But anyway, so back to what I was saying. Garcia, first round.
What a match.
Mukova. I was so scared for that match. I was like, I'm going to bed. I am not watching this match. I was so scared, Eugene. I'm not saying I didn't believe in Osaka, but that heart attack, I couldn't just deal with it. And luckily I did, because when I was reading people's tweets, I was seeing the mix of emotions and I was like, yeah, I cannot have that at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Right, I was going to say, Lucy, you should be used to it now. You're built for this now, man.
I'm actually not. How about that? I'm not built for this, guys. I am not. Please, players. I am not.
What match is more impressive for you, Garcia or Mukova?
You know what? It's actually that first set with Bencic.
Besides Bencic, what match impressed you the most? First round or second round?
I would definitely say second round, because she is more of a challenging player. She's harder for Osaka to beat, which Osaka has said. Obviously, I did not watch the match. When I was watching the highlights and so many of like the clips and stuff, the way she was hitting was insane. I even posted one on our Twitter. It was like a mass... that forehand.
Yeah. She out-hit her, basically. Yeah.
She out-hit her. And she out-hit her because she did not let her wear her fit for long at US Open. Get it right.
She took it personally.
She said, and I took it personally. She said, she was like, all right, you did not let me wear my cool-ass Harajuku fit, so I'm going to kick your ass out. That's what she did. But yeah, honestly, when I was looking at the draws for Osaka, I was like, yeah, this is... I was like, we might have another Mukova beating her again. But to be fair, when it comes to her injury, she did say press that she actually regularly get ab injuries at the beginning of the year since she was like young.
Interesting, yeah.
But last year, funny enough, it started at the end of the year and now it's basically dragged into the beginning of the year. So that's what it is. But I think the injury was, because in fair, even some of her press conferences before, when people were asking about the injury, she was a bit saying like, she wasn't giving too much.
Yeah, she said like, she doesn't want to, yeah, basically, yeah, divulge too much.
Exactly. Yeah. So from what I got was, yeah, the injury's still kicking my ass, but I'm here fighting. And that's
fighting through.
And fine through. And that's exactly what she did. And she even said it. She was like, listen, when I went into the match against Benchik, I knew my injury was starting up, but I just wanted to fight. I just wanted to go through it. So I think that was her mentality, even going through AO. And Eugene, the way that she played, which was that 5-2, that was generally, I can't remember the last time I watched an Osaka match and I'm like, we're back in 2018. We're back in 2019. That was about Osaka that I was getting. Like, it was, I was like, what's going on? What is actually happening? And then unfortunately, the injury started playing to fight. And the way that Osaka serves, it's inevitable that, you know, her ab injury will play into it and everything. So I'm even starting to wonder, does she have to start serving a little bit different?
Coach Lucy, like, damn. Well, you're going to get on the phone and like start giving that.
Patrick, call me.
Good advice.
Patrick, call me. And speaking of Patrick, she actually gave Patrick a lot of props. She did say that they had massive work on her. You can see that she's been moving a lot. And I think the girls, whenever they were playing against Osaka, they were making her move. But what little did they know is that she's actually been working a lot on it, like her defense and her movement around the court has improved a lot more in the matches that we've seen at Auckland and now, at ASB and now. And compared to last year, but she did give credit to Patrick regarding the placement of her serve. So they're working the serve a lot, but she always said that she used to focus more on just bombing it and power. Whereas with Patrick, it was like, you know, place it here and place it there.
And who does that remind you of?
Exactly. Precisely. The goats. Serena Williams. Period.
Very, very interesting.
Even the winners, even the way she was hitting like them winners and everything at the place, I was like, that is Serena right through and there. And that is what I'm saying. But we still need to give credit to Patrick because a lot of the fans are saying, why is she with Patrick? Now everyone is like, yeah, give Patrick his props.
I know
he's looking at the Twitter feed like, yeah, respect.
Nah, it's just one of those ones. Is it Shaquille O'Neal? But I wasn't familiar with your game.
Exactly. Exactly. That is what everyone is doing to Patrick right now. I wasn't familiar with your game. But yeah, honestly, I just want her to... She did look good on a post-press conference, which you posted. And she had like a nice little interaction with Timani, which was very funny.
Oh yeah, that was hard.
It was like, I messaged him
about that last night. I won't say, but it was, he had a moment. It was nice.
As soon as I watched it, I actually took a picture of it. I sent it to him. I was like, this was so funny. And he was even like, the fact that she just lost, and that's what she actually said was funny. I was like, yeah, she was expecting you, man. But yeah, she did look good. I know it definitely will hurt her because it's a back-to-back injury. But the good thing is I need people to understand that she has not been losing because of the fact she's been knocked out. She has had to leave the tournament because of injury.
Someone said technically she's unbeaten.
She
kind of agree. Like,
She's not lost the match, it's been retirements. You know, there's been like one or two cute little losses there, and it's even like, you know, whatever.
But I'm saying in 2025, like she's
in 2025, she's not exactly, yeah. She's not, yeah.
Yeah,
so get healthy, Osaka. Tennis needs you,
facts,
please. Speedy, a very speedy recovery, ASAP.
Indeed.
We got excited. You can't leave us dry like this. Let's go.
Shall we wrap up with the women? So Sloane Stephens, she was out in the first round.
She unfortunately had Sabalenka.
That, of course. Did you watch that, Lucy? Because I didn't.
I did not watch it. I think it was my first day back at work as well from my holiday. So yeah, I couldn't. But as soon as I saw that, Craig...
Was it two and three?
What do you mean?
The score.
Oh.
3-2. Yeah, 6-3, 6-2.
Yeah. But yeah, that was...
Because I remember talking to you about this, but obviously not on the podcast, but like in private. I was saying, I wouldn't be surprised if Sloane, like, basically fucks you up. like in terms of, yeah, gives Sabalenka all sorts of problems.
Listen, but that was like, that was, yeah, no.
Obviously, wishful thinking, but also, listen, Sloane is one of the most talented players. I don't care what
I'm not taking that away, but it's just like, we're talking about Sabalenka.
And the form isn't there at the moment. So
yeah, it's not there yet. The form from Sabalenka is out of this world.
It's understandable. Like, yeah. It wasn't a huge surprise, but yeah.
Horrible, but the loss that hurt me the most, however, it was Hayley Baptiste against
Laura Sigmund. Yeah, who went on a run herself. To be fair,
yeah, she went on a run. So she was, at least she did that. But the thing is, Baptiste was actually serving for the match, leading like 5-3, and then I don't know what happened. I think maybe nerves or.
Because I had that match.
Or maybe
on.
The heat was a lot. I don't know.
I was multi-screaming in like that match. I think some of the guys were playing at the same time, and yeah, like I was convinced like Baptiste was going to
same.
Win.
Yeah, that's it. It was looking good.
Yeah, but
after that 5-3, it's just like she just lost momentum. The errors were playing, and she was even getting. You could tell she was frustrated. She was very pissed off about that loss. So. Yeah, really bad luck.
Did you see the embrace at the end though? Like Sigmund, she said the way she's quite, what's the word? She's quite an eccentric character, Sigmund.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So like when she won her match point, she dropped her racket and like jumped into the air.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, that's a bit over the top. But then at the net, like they hugged. And I thought that was sweet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because obviously she knows as well, Baptiste was so close to winning that.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Tough,
exactly.
Tough one for Baptiste, but she'll be okay, man. Top 100 player. Yeah. So
yeah, yeah.
Next season
and
ahead.
Then Taylor Townsend lost to Mexican player Zara Zua in three set. That one was a close one too. But I will give her a little bit of him because she normally plays warm up events. Like Auckland is her spot.
Townsend.
She tends to go there. Yeah, yeah. Townsend. Mm. But she has not placed in the WTA finals. That was literally her first like match since the WTA finals. So, yeah. So
and she did. Obviously, she made a run to the finals. She?
Exactly. She made a run. Exactly. So, WTA finals. So, yeah, this was definitely different. But obviously, she's still in doubles, you know, doing her thing. So, yeah. So, shout out to Townsend.
Katerina Siniakova.
Yes, sir.
Good luck. Good luck to those two, definitely. The men now, Lucy. We have to start with a month. We have to
La
start
Monf. With ASB champ, still on form.
What a guy. What a guy. Do you know what I'm not going to do? I'm going to try very hard not to mention his age because I don't think he likes it.
Why do you think he doesn't like it?
Just from like watching his press conferences, like I forgot the actual question that was asked, but he was like, basically with the age thing, I don't look at the age, like, and the way he said it, I was like, wow, this guy, he's different, you know? And
yeah, I've been really enjoying his press conference.
I understood where he was coming from because he was like, it's you guys that like to make this thing with my age and I shouldn't be doing this because it shouldn't be possible. But he was like, listen, I feel good. Like, and I was like, Le Monde, talk your fucking shit. Sorry to swear. But I was like, talk your because clearly, he's shown, like we've said, in Auckland.
Yeah,
yeah. He's still got game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, now at a Grand Slam, that first round, oh my God.
I missed it.
So, yeah, Giovanni Pericard. I thought Pericard was going to win that, Lucy.
Same.
But not like, it wouldn't be, I didn't think it was going to be easy. I thought it'd be like maybe a four-setter, but he would come through. Le Monf, oh my word. And you put it here. He did not, his serve, he was serving better than Pericard.
That's crazy.
Pericard did not have any looks at break points. And again, after that match, Monfils said he knew that match, his serve had to be on point because obviously he wasn't really going to get much of a look or chance on Pericard's serve being one of, if not the best server on the ATP tour right now.
Yeah,
so he was like, he knew. He said, I had to take care of my serve, and that's what I did. Mm-hmm. But not only did he do that, but yeah, he broke like Pericard down, I thought, like during that match, and just showed his like level of experience, like, and for me as well, not so much. Obviously, he's been on tour for a long time, but Lucy, like athletically, he still got it, man. And it's so good to see. So, mm-hmm. so good to see.
Mm-hmm.
The second round against that.
Black don't crack.
The second round against Daniel Altmaier, the German, that was a straight sets win, like routine. And I thought, okay, cool. And then the third round, Taylor Fritz. Oh my word. Obviously, guys, you've probably seen like posts. I'm saying the post on the Win Predictor that I cannot
Yes. A lot of people are praising you for posting. Shout out for posting that, yeah.
But no, shout out to Arvin Palmer because, yeah, like, and I he's one of the commentators that I really enjoy listening to as well. Just because he's very insightful, obviously former player too. But yeah, he was like, yeah, I don't agree with those percentages because they're not taking into account the quality that Gael Monfils has in terms of he's a world-class tennis player and that's exactly what he is and that's what he showed against Taylor Fritz.
Mm-hmm.
Just a remarkable match, man. It's been a great run.
Listen,
and I cannot wait for this matchup against Ben.
Monfils came into AO and was like, fuck them kids, bro. It's like, let me show you what it is. Let me show you the real game. He got GMP out of it. Listen, because I even tweeted on my personal account, I was like, Monfils, uncle, come on. Let the kids a little, you know, like, you know. And
he wasn't supposed to win that match against GMP because, yeah, he was the 30th seed.
Exactly. But you know what I loved when I posted that? Mad people actually said to me like, no, let Monfils have his thing. Like Giovanni has time. He will get to it. I was like, all right, fairs, you know. And now with Fritz, and the thing is with Fritz, apparently, like, because I was asleep 90% of the time because of the time again, but I had it on, like, on the TV, but I was told that Fritz was not playing bad. It wasn't
Fritz
a thing where
Fritz was playing really well.
Fritz was playing really well. So it was a thing where literally Monfils was actually just on job. Like, he was just on job.
A lot of people are saying that that's the best they've seen him play, like, in years.
Mm-hmm. Like, from commentators to fans, a lot of people are, like, really praising. They're like, wow, like, you know, this is really great tennis from him. But what I love the most is that during his press conference, like, he just makes it clear, like, listen, I'm just living life. Like, he said, like, you know, the dream of winning a Grand Slam, not really a dream. I have my family. I have my wife. I have my daughter. Life is good. Like, he literally, like, when like, he's not the one, the press conference he did before this one, it was just so wholesome. Like, I think the reason why he's playing this well is just he's generally at peace. He's happy with his life. And it's different before where it's like your life dependent on the tennis. It's like your mood was because of the tennis. You win or you lose or whatever. Everything was tennis. And I think that having everything else around, like having more of a purpose, which I think we even said last year, because that's the thing. Monfils has not only started playing well this year. As soon as that baby was born, it was like a whole different person. Because now if he loses tomorrow, it's not like, F this, I lost, blah, 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 like angry. Now it's like, oh, I lost, but I'm going back home to my daughter. That is literally his energy. So
I love how he keeps writing her name as well, like on the camera, which is cute.
It's really, really, really cute. Really, really cute. And then, you know, his wife came right after that match. It was the first time I was like, all right, they're actually cute. Like she was watching him when he was playing, when she was like warming up. He gets off, she's on the same court, beats him, and they both beat world number fours, even though our world
fourth seed. Yeah, that was quite cool, actually. That was
fourth seed, you know, even though it was our fourth seed, but it's all right, whatever. But yeah, it's really cute. So shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Monfils. And who does he have next?
Shelts. Benny Shelton.
Who we need to talk about next as well.
You know what? I've not tweeted this, but I will tweet it. For me, Lucy, he has the best meme mug in all of sports.
Like, Ben Shelton.
Ben Shelton. The way he meme mugs, it kind of inspires me. It motivates me to want to do things. Like, do you get me? I want to go and get it. Yeah. That meme mug, it just does something to me, man. But yeah, what a run he's on. Like,
especially that he had an early exit at ASB as well.
Which I'm going to give you credit for, because you're like, Eugene, it's no biggie, man. Like,
Yeah,
open, he'll be good. And
at least, I said everyone was like, I was like, oh, it's literally just that.
He's literally shown that. So
and Grand Slam, normally during Grand Slams, he has like, he's proved it. Like Grand Slam times, it's time to wake up.
Yeah, and he steps up definitely. That first round against Brendan Nakashima, that could have been tricky, but that was a straight sets win.
Yeah.
And that's so far that's been his only straight sets win. His mm-hmm. two matches have gone four sets.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Nakashima win gave him a lot of confidence for the rest of the tournament, because Nakashima,
he needed a match like that. Yeah.
He is a problem. Like he's going to be, how old is Nakashima actually?
I think he's
23.
Young.
He's a young
yeah,
young guy.
He's a young guy. Like, he's only a year older than Shelton.
He's still going to be I expect him to be doing things in the game for a long time. But yeah, Shelton dispatched of him in straight sets, 7-6, 7-5, 7-5, and then it was Pablo Carreno Busta in the second round.
Yeah, and that one he was
a four-setter.
It was that. I felt like Shelton and Coco's the same thing. It's like each match you can see the improvement. But in that match, it was really, really good.
Yeah, really, really good match. Like you said, he kind of he's played himself into form as the tournament's gone on. The Massetti match got a bit tricky, sticky, I should say, because we thought, I think everybody thought that Massetti was going to pull out because he was having trouble, I think, breathing. So,
oh really?
Yeah, like he had.
I was in and out of the match because time again.
Yeah, he had the trainer come out like in the first set, like quite early on, and they were like taking his temperature and everything, and he was like kind of touching his chest a lot.
Oh,
so it's like he was either having difficulty breathing or I don't know if he had like maybe just didn't feel well. But to be fair to him, he pushed on. And yeah, did kind of give it a good go. Obviously, taking the second set as well. So,
I actually thought the last set it was going to go into five, and I was like, please don't take it to into five. Bag this, Shelton, and he did.
He sure did in that tiebreak 7-5.
Yeah, he did. Now he's been looking good. Like I've been really impressed. Again, we know him and his serves. But I feel like as the matches were going, he was getting even more powerful and powerful, especially the way he's hitting like his winners. I feel like he's finding solutions to problems way faster.
Yeah.
And I think it's just part of him just, you know, getting older and maturing and everything.
Developing,
and just finding
exactly.
And developing. Yeah. He's literally developing his game. I feel like, yeah, honestly, it's been really good. He's been just quietly, just, you know, grinding, doing his thing. It's just like I'm hitting and I'm going back to my hotel, chilling and, you know, just waiting on. And yeah, but it's nice to see that he's been very fun to watch this AO so far. Very much looking forward to his match against Monfils, even though I'm very upset that we have too many other players against each other. But at the same time, this is a good sign though, Eugene. It's showing that, you know, more of the black players are, you know.
It's cool. And we're guaranteed to have someone in the quarters, which is nice.
Exactly, which is nice to see. It's annoying.
It is, yeah, exactly.
It's annoying because at least I wish he was at least a little bit down. Like, give me a final sign. You know, because at least if it's a final, we eat it regardless. Like, you know.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. So, yeah. So
wait, this is going to be a first time meeting. How do you see it going? You think Monfils is still...
It's hard to think because Monfils is playing so good. But I'm going with Shelton. I'm going with Shelton. Mm-hmm.
I'm on the fence, man. I'm on the fence.
No, pick. Sorry.
From what I've seen, more from Monfils, like Lucy, I'm telling you, if you watch the Fritz match, some of the shots this guy was hitting.
Yeah.
I was like, is he gonna win the Australian Open in 2025? I still am not gonna mention his age, but yeah, in 2025. This is insane.
Insane. Like, I know it's not the same because they're two different type of people, but listen, if LeBron James is 40 and he's playing, apparently he's playing, I don't know nothing about basketball, but I'm being told that he's actually playing really well this year. Why can't Monfils win a Grand Slam at 38?
Listen, man, these athletes are built different.
Different. But no, give an answer, Eugene.
Lucy, man, putting me
on. Monfils or Shelton? 3, 2, 1.
Oh, this is painful.
Who do you have?
I'm going to go Monfils.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go Monfils.
Let's go.
That's more heart than head. But I'm not going to be either way. I'm not mad. Whoever wins, I'm not mad.
Facts. So
let's go. Upsets now. We've spoken about Giovanni.
Yeah.
Let's talk Gabriel Jalo.
Catching off. When I catch you, you're on my list. The same list that I put Benchik, you're on my list too. Back to back? Come on.
Four sets though. I was impressed with Jalo, especially against Luca Nardi in the first round. That was a four setter as well.
Four or five?
Four. I want to say it's four sets.
I thought it was five.
No, it was four.
Okay, cool.
It was five.
Yep.
Oh, Eugene. Sorry.
No, bad. 6-7, 7-3, 5-7, 6-1, 6-2.
Yeah, that's what gassed me. I say because he won it in the end quite comfortably in terms of the last two sets.
Exactly. So that's why I felt the same. I thought, oh, okay, I think we got Khachanov this time. But Khachanov is one of those players where he's higher in terms of like a lot of head to heads his head to head against a lot of players are higher, but
guaranteed like to make second week of literally every Grand Slam he plays pretty much. Yet,
The titles, what they're saying.
Listen, relax. I do enjoy watching him though. Like he's a fun player to watch. Like he plays with a lot of style and like it's very easy on the eye. But less on Khachanov, more on Jalo. I feel like this is gonna be a good year for him, man. Like again, you know, sure. we spoke about it in our our year end pod. I don't think we did. Mm-hmm. But in terms of his level towards the end of last year, like it showed me that this guy he can hang with the big guys, and sure. I feel like he's gonna have some nice moments in 2025, and I'm looking forward to seeing that.
That's how I felt watching the his match against Nardi. Like, I was like, I'm feeling good about this. So even despite the early loss, I think he's gonna have a great season.
Mm. Should we go Felix, Adelaide champ? I'm not gonna lie to you. I wasn't watching. I watched the start of the match, mm-hmm. but I didn't see the end. So I didn't see all the drama basically with Davidic Fokina.
Boy, okay. So let's start with this, right? He was up to and everything, and obviously that day was very chaotic because it was rain delay.
Horrible.
So they got back to the court, but then one of the French players was playing. And obviously, you know, when a French is on, the fans, the French supporters, we've always said this, they are on one. So they were so loud that literally both Fokina and Felix were like, we can't play like this. Like, this is actually ridiculous. You need to move us out of the court. So that was a whole other thing again. And then same thing, they were playing. And Fokina and the Empire, there was a little bit of drama. There was some time violations issues. There were some times where Fokina was, like, when I noticed it, I was just like, okay. There was even at one point, I can't confirm this, but I'm guessing by the look of the body language and the way that he was describing certain stuff, I may be wrong, so please don't quote me on this, guys, because there was no commentators during that time. There was actually Spanish commentators at one point because of the time, but it seems like he was kind of asking if we can stop like the match or something. Because I think he was complaining about the light or something or blah. He was complaining about something anyway. So there was always something basically. And then it was even at one point he got a time violation. He refused to play, as if Fokina sat down and refused to play. And he still didn't get in trouble for that. Nothing. Everything's cool, of course. There was just so many times where you saw Felix talking to his box because there was so many off time from Fokina, or he was taking a lot of time with the toilet breaks and everything. And yeah, and that was happening a lot during the, like there was one set where literally Felix was leading up, and then the time violation thing started. And I think from there, it just went down.
Probably, now, probably third.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm not saying that that's the main reason why Felix lost that match. At the end of the day, I will say this here, and I said it even on the Twitter, because people thought that I was trying to give Felix an excuse when that was not the case. Felix should have won that match in straight sets. I am not taking that away.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
the first two sets, he was playing incredibly well. He was literally on point. Fekina had no solution. He did not know what to do.
Although they were tight, two tie breaks.
There were two tie breaks, exactly.
Yeah.
There were two tie breaks, but he could have still at least won that in three or four. Shouldn't even got into five at all, like, in my opinion, right? But we cannot take away the fact that Fekina, who I did not know, was actually known for doing a lot of things like that. Like starting drama, showing like there's literally someone, there are edits on YouTube about
with his odd socks. You know, you say he wears one black, one white sock. I like that.
So this is why I was so confused when I was pointing that out. People were trying to be like, yeah, you're making excuses. I'm not making excuses. That is Fekina's literally
reputation.
That's his bag. That's what he does. So I'm not actually giving an excuse. But two things, guys. I know it's hard to believe in 2025, but two things can be true, okay? Felix should have won that match, but I genuinely do believe that Fekina's antics has definitely played into it. And that also gave him time to know what to do. And I think players have figured out, I know how to get into Felix's head, and I know once I get into his head, I can win this match. And I genuinely think that was one of Fekina's tactics, and unfortunately, that won. But either way, doesn't take away the fact that he came into the Australian Open with a title. Where was everyone? Chilling and no titles. So at the end of the day, he's leaving AO with some matches into him, a title, and we're going to see how his season goes, because you guys have been yapping your ears or your mouth away when it comes to Felix, when it's on players they should be worrying about too. I do hope that he does fix his five sets thing, because I did notice when he gets into his five sets, Felix tend to lose their matches a little bit more. And I really hope we work on that this year. But at the end of the day, he started his season way stronger than a lot of these players. And it is what it is.
The end. I've got nothing else to say.
Period.
Oh, well, it's a fantastic summary, Lucy, your rundown. Don't disagree with anything you said there. So, fair play. Arthur Thies.
Oh.
Arthur, another retirement. This was ankle issues.
Ankle against Ugo, it looked like we were getting a good match. But the reason why this is hurting me a lot is because before that match, there was a little change in Arthur's game, and I really wanted to see a little bit more of that. He was doing a lot more serve and volleying. He was coming a lot more towards the net as well, which I'm not saying he doesn't like. Arthur's feet movements are great. He knows how to move all around
the court. One of the best movers, definitely.
The best movers 100%. In all surfaces as well.
100%.
That's when you make him to do it. But now it was a thing where he was doing different stuff, especially I'm noticing on the first round. And I was like, I really want to see a little bit more of this. So that's why I was a little bit hurt that he got injured. He didn't even want to pull out again, just like Patrick, who was also his coach, that was saying,
Sebastian Grosjean.
Sebastian was telling him, like, yo, it's fine. But yeah, it is what it is. Again, I would take a retirement over someone losing. I just really hope it's not that severe and that he's really cool.
Facts.
Speaking of Arthur, did you see the AO post that they did?
No.
They've been
really good, by the way, actually.
They've been good. The Australia Open content, but it was funny. So they did he wasn't talking anything. It was just showing after your feast, just chilling, sitting down, blah, blah, blah. It was just like a nice shot type of thing. But the music was the Busta Rhymes Mariah Carey song, Baby, If You Give It To Me.
Oh, my God. Because they know the girl, them sugar.
I saw it. I opened the app and I was like, be for real. I was like, I see what you're doing here. So the AO social media manager, yay, slick, I see you. But that was funny. But they love him.
Really, I think this year in terms of Grand Slams for Fees, I feel like he's going to up his level as each one comes. So I feel like the French Open is going to be massive for him because I think he hasn't progressed. He hasn't made it past the first round at the French.
Yeah, I think the pressure just gets to him.
But this is what I'm saying, Lucy. I feel like this year, I feel like he's going to find a way to kind of put that behind him. And
it's also more, and just like the Americans, there's also more of the young Frenchmen. Now he's not just him, you know, there's GMP, there's Hugo.
Exactly.
You know, even the seniors are doing well now. Do you get what I mean? So,
but for me, the only thing he needs to do, and it will come with time, because he's only 20 years old. Mm. Some of these matches, he shouldn't be going to four sets against, no disrespect, Otto Virtanen.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Even Kontan Ellis. Like, he should be beating these guys in straight sets. When he figures out a way, or when he gets through these matches basically quicker, or put less strain on his body.
That's true.
And then he'll be ready for guys like Hugo in the third round. But that will come with time. And it will come. Like, he's 20 years old. So I know he'll find a way to kind of just basically mature. Like we were saying, Ben Shelton is basically doing that. Like, we're seeing it in real time. I feel like Fils isn't quite there yet, even though he's currently ahead of Shelton in terms of in the rankings. But I still feel that there's a lot of like development to come with Fils.
I mean, he's like, much younger. He's still 20.
Exactly. Well. And that's what I'm saying. Exactly. I feel like, that he could only get better, and he will.
Yeah.
And then from there, like, God knows how far he can go. Like, he's definitely a top 10 player, 100%. And I'm looking forward to seeing. I think this season is going to be very big for him in terms of Grand Slams. I'm looking forward to the French Open next
for sure. For him. Likewise.
We have to talk about Frances Lululemon. I've not even said it right. Lululemon.
The reason why I actually thought he was going to do New Balance. Remember we spoke about it at the beginning of the pod.
We did.
And we said it was rumors about him moving to thingy, Nike or whatnot, away from Nike.
The shoes are K-Swiss. He's rocking K-Swiss shoes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the fit is Lululemon.
The fit is, I think it's going to be fun. I do, like I said, I actually like them on the... I don't think they have any... Tiafoe is the first men tennis player that they think, right?
Leila Fernandez. Is
Leila Fernandez, the woman. And I, like, last year, I was loving so many of Leila's fits. A lot of my favorite fits are from her. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Frances. He did say there's a lot of fun things coming up. I mean, listen, Nike ain't doing nothing, even for their big players.
It hurts me, though, Lisa. I'm not going to lie to you, because Nike...
It does, like, 100%.
I'm a big Nike guy. Like,
Me too, but it's very heartbreaking to see that.
But then at the same time, I'm thinking, like, this could also be a thing of, like... Do you remember... Well, obviously, you remember Federer moving to Uniqlo.
I
want to say it was Djokovic first that went to Uniqlo, and then Federer went after, I want to say... But now, when you think of Uniqlo, you think of Federer. And obviously, to be fair, Nishikori too, he does wear Uniqlo as well. But you think Federer. And what, years ago, Uniqlo, they were not a tennis brand.
For sports, at all.
Exactly.
At all. They're good brand. They got some good...
I love Uniqlo.
Yeah, but in terms of the association with sports, definitely Federer had a lot to do with that.
So this is a great opportunity now for Frances to kind of make Lululemon like his own. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of collaboration in terms of he's going to have a lot of say-so in like the fits.
Exactly.
Exciting times. But just on his tennis... It was Marajan in the second round. Although I'm going to say he wasn't, I don't feel, and I've not, this isn't confirmation, I've not spoken to Frances like off the record or anything, but I don't think he was physically 100%.
And we know that for the first round, for sure,
I'm saying in the second round too, like he didn't look completely...
If in the second round he didn't look...
I'm going to say,
Okay, fair enough.
But again, this is just a feeling.
Yeah. The second round, I didn't get that feeling. Because the second round, for me, he should have secured that with the way that he was playing. He was playing well.
He was playing well.
So when I woke up... No, I didn't wake up. No, I was watching his match. His match started when I just woke up. Went to the gym, so I was watching it at the gym. And then when I was leaving, when I left the gym, when I got home, I then saw Francis Diafoulos match. I was like, what? I was like, wait, huh? Like, that's how confused I was, because that is how well he was playing when I was watching him.
Six one in that fifth.
That's why for me, he clearly wasn't right,
like physically.
Because
I just don't see why you're losing 6-1 to Marajan in the fifth set. Like if you're like 100% fit, and again, that's no disrespect to Marajan. He's beaten top players. Like I think he beat Alcaraz, was it last year? He beat someone big on clay last year or the year before. So like he's not like some kind of scrub, but yeah, TFO 17C, he should have won that match, definitely.
For sure. But we shall see. Hopefully, if it's a thing where he's not feeling well, hopefully he is feeling good soon and wishing him a speedy recovery.
Shouts out to Ayan as well, his girlfriend. I'm
brimful. Oh yeah, she did like a post on TikTok the lack of representation at Melbourne and everything. So yeah, that was really dope. Shout out to her. We need more guys. We're not even saying just go to Grand Slam. That's the thing. We know that Grand Slams are expensive. I was struggling myself with Wimby, for instance, before this. But this, the small tournaments as well. I'm not talking about Australia because I know Australia is different. But for those of you in Europe, you know, if just go to one little Paris Bercy, one little Madrid Open, one little Rome Open. Make it a whole vacation. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you want to go to Rome if you're in Europe. Go Rome, doing Rome Open. Go to one day in the match and the rest of the match you're eating pasta and enjoying and everything. I'm actually planning to go to one of the tournaments as a very vacation. Nice. Nat Media. So guys, and Nat, talk to me about pod and ask questions during the thing. I'm going there as a fan and I'm going to be cheering for the black players. But yeah, to close it out, we can close it out with the players that are still in doubles. So as we said, Taylor Townsend is still there with Siniaková. She's also playing mixed doubles with Nies. Also Paolini and Irani, who has a very fun match tomorrow against Schneider and Andreeva, which is basically a repeat of the Olympics. So
yeah,
that's
final.
Pretty,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wow. pretty dope.
So they're not seeded then, the Russian girls. Well, I can't even say Russian, but well, they are Russian, well, but yeah.
No, they're not seeded. Flag. They're not seeded.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they're not seeded. So that's looking interesting. Craig, you see? See, these are the things you do. But anyways, A. Mohammed and Demi Schurz, also playing doubles. And Mohammed is also playing mixed doubles with Andres Molteni. So yeah, shout out to the doubles people.
Nice.
But yeah, that is week one. By the time you guys will listen to this pod, Coco and Benchik would have been done. So it's gods, please help us out here. And also, there's none of the men's actually. We only have Coco to tune in. The men's will be on Monday and the pod should be out by then. So yeah, now, Eugene, based on the players that we have left, who do you think is going to lift the AO trophy on Russia. Saturday?
Can I say ladies first?
Go on.
As in for you, ladies first, you should go first.
Oh. You think you're slick? Wow. Okay. For women, I've been saying it. I've got Coco. I did have a little bit of Sabalenka before, but I've got Coco.
Free what? Sabalenka's a freebie, you know? That's crazy.
Or Iga. Because Iga's jaw.
She's playing well, man.
It's not about... She's just playing well, bro. The jaw is mad easy, bro. Mad easy.
She played well against Raducanu.
She did. But still, there's no... she doesn't have any threat to, like, basically the final. But anyways, so she actually might end up in the trophy, but I'm going for my girl Coco Gauff. My big three. And the men... Who did I have on the men initially? I had Sinner for men initially because I feel like he's trying to stack up as much as he can before he gets banned, allegedly, if he does. Actually, I'm going to say allegedly. He might get banned. We don't know the thingy is soon. I have Sinner, but I have a crazy thing to say, which I've not said out loud to anyone.
Say it out loud, please.
I have Shelton in the final.
Mm-mm, I love that, you know, I really do. I'm Lucy, I kind of hear you. Even though I said he's gonna lose someone Feast, but I hear you. I actually hear you.
I don't know. Shelton's moving different right now. He's locked in.
I hear you.
So yeah, so those are my winners. Who do you have? Go on.
Yeah, women on the same. Goff.
Mm-hmm. No, Keys not. I thought you said Keys.
No, I think Goff is playing. She's playing different level. Right? And I feel like she's waiting for Sabalenka or Swiatek again. Like I feel I think she's looking forward to that matchup again. Yeah. The men, it's always more difficult. Like Alcaraz is obviously he's doing his thing. Although I think he won in four sets in the third. He dropped a set in the third round. Before then, he's been winning pretty easily.
Mm.
I think even Sinner, he's dropped a set as well. So no one's playing like super clean.
Yeah, no one. That's why this AO has been so funny. No, everyone is just looking chaotic. And it's nothing to do with like their level. It's just the bloody tennis calendar. This is what it is, really and truly. So that's why, I don't know, that's why it's been funny to watch all these matches. Like, you're waking up seeing these scores and you're like, AO, what is going on? AO, what the?
So no Novak. We're not going...
Who? Who? No, okay. I don't. You never know. He might make it to the final type of thing. But listen, these youngins are coming in, boy.
I don't.
He might feel motivated with Monfils doing well. Like, hold on, if Monfils can pull all of this, maybe I can too. Let's whoop these kids' ass a little bit.
You get me. The two veterans. Mm-hmm. Men. Who am I going to say for the men? Oh, I can't. Oh, Lucy, this is tough.
Alcaraz is still there, even though Alcaraz, you know.
I don't like going for the simple, the easy guys. Like,
but it's not about the easy. There's just Alcaraz's last game, he won it straight. He played really well.
He's playing Draper tonight, which I'm blogging.
I'm looking forward to that match. I don't know if I'm gonna watch it, but yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, boy. Alcaraz, Sinner, Djokovic.
I'm not going to go Alcaraz, Sinner. I'm tempted to go Djokovic, but then I'm also tempted to say Monfils.
Runa, Holger Runa was playing some sick game.
Holger's doing his thing, but yeah,
he's doing his thing.
I can't see it. I'm going to go Novak. For me, that's a sensible pick, but also that is quite outlandish at the same time. But I would.
You said that you don't want to keep it safe, and you pick Novak.
Yeah, because I feel like Yannick is everyone's guy. Yannick Sinner, Carlos Alcaraz. Yeah, is it? No, I'm going to go old school. But then I would love it if
Monfils
was to do it, but we'll see.
All right, cool. We shall see then.
Let's wrap this up.
We shall see. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed the pod and hope you enjoyed the Australian Open. Let's see how things goes on our next spot. Make sure you tune in. We will have a guest for our AO review.
Indeed. Yeah. Cheers for tuning in, guys. And until next time, enjoy the tennis.
Enjoy the tennis.
Take care.